Yeah, I can talk to them because they also know I will not use their name. But at the same time, a lot of people know that I talk to a lot of these types of people, so they want to know what we have coming out. So it's a very interesting issue that we have over the years. We've had, central banks actually deliberately leaking stuff to us because they couldn't do it to the press. So here, you get this out, please, because they know a lot of the major, institutions basically read us. So it's this. What's what I write about this being politically correct problem. It ends up making it look like I'm the only guy saying stuff, but it's coming from a lot of sources. So.
Well, we're now here firmly into 2015, and everybody that is listening to this conversation is well aware of your work, well aware of the importance of September or so of 2015 as a turn point in your economic confidence model. And you write a lot about this, obviously, but can you just articulate for a moment what your best guess is of the way this turn in economic confidence is going to manifest itself? What's going to be I know things are fraying at the edges, but when the big bang actually happens, what's the beginning of that going to look like?
We're already in it fairly aggressively now. We're seeing it at the peripheral, from Greece and Europe, et cetera. You have China, fooling around with its interest rates because it's got a credit crisis. You've got Putin trying to divide and conquer and get Europe and saying, hey, listen, you want your economy to help join us instead of the U.S.? It's all over the place. And I think that, as I say, the political elections are 16, so that gives us about a year after this thing starts to turn down. And my deepest concern is that the United States is the only thing holding up the world economy at this point. Every economy is heading down. And that's going to, this is why the dollar is being pushed up. You have against Canadian, everything. And at this point, as long as the U.S. stock market per se just kind of still, kind of chops around going sideways, we don't get some major thrust to the upside for September, and we stay, pretty much hopefully below 18.5 on the Dow, then you'll get the initial correction. Everybody will get faked out. They'll say, okay, fine, see, the stock market's really going to crash, here we go. And then that will be the buying opportunity, and most likely it will take off to the upside going into 17. If that happens, that's where we'll probably get the phase transition. And in order to create that, it means that the capital's got to flee the bond markets. So that's what creates these booms. It's a concentration of capital. So if capital is evenly dispersed, then you're not going to see a big spike, rally, or crash in anything. So it has to concentrate. And right now it's concentrated in the debt markets. So everybody's sitting there with cash, historic lows as far as retail participation in the stock market, liquidity still at 50% of the level. This is not indicative of a major peak in the stock market. It's a major peak in bond markets where everybody's just sitting on money because they don't know what to do. And they're not collecting very much, interest, and now you have people starting to hoard cash. So I think that's largely what we're looking at, and it's going to be a wild time. So I think the turn in September is going to be more felt in the bond markets. And then as the stock market goes up, the Fed is, to be politically correct, they're going to have to raise interest rates. Because they're going to be seen as, if they don't do that, they have created a bubble, and that's what the traditional press will accuse them of. So they'll have to raise interest rates just to save face. The more they raise interest rates, the higher the dollar will go. So, I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but, you know, the economics theories driving it have never changed, and that's the problem. So it's going to be a very interesting time.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, the Fed itself, or at least elements of the, you know, the Fed's a big thing, and they're, you know, obviously they're reserve banks, and they're armies of these economists that write lots of different things. And but, so you can find a lot of different publications and use a lot of things. But there's a few years ago, a couple of guys at the New York Fed wrote an interesting piece speculating about, you know, the impact of, if we sort of moved into negative interest rates, where instead of, and the Fed's still paying interest on excess reserves, so a lot of money's parked at the Fed, but if you essentially start charging banks, as Europe has been started doing, charging banks to keep reserves at the Fed rather than paying them to keep reserves at the Fed, then that ends up having negative interest rates bleed through to other sectors of society, which you're starting to see in other parts of the world right now. And some of the really perverse reactions as people, you know, and the things that some of the things that firms and very wealthy individuals might do in order to cope in a negative interest rate environment. And so it's very interesting that policy, you know, somebody out there is thinking about that, but the typical policymaker here on Capitol Hill and in Washington, D.C. is just blissfully unaware of how one thing, like the flapping butterfly wing, you know, on one side of the world ends up causing the chain reaction of things that causes earthquake on the other side of the world, and no one sees what causes one thing. And that's what your work is so valuable doing. You know, you spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of mental energy into modeling some of these things, and it's a little bit of a black box model to outsiders, but you're trying to capture all these various variables so that you're not ruled by emotion and not ruled by, you know, the heat of the moment, but you're trying to just take it all in sort of a mathematically predictable kind of way. And that's a great benefit for those of us that are, you know, really relying upon the work that you're doing and the models that you're putting together, you and your team.
Well, thank you. It is the only way to deal with this, because no individual can possibly look at all the variables that are actually going on. I mean, but unfortunately, you know, when something happens, they always want to reduce it to one thing. It did this because of that, and it's a combination of things. So, well, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you much for having me back, and I look forward to chatting again and continuing to touch base on the whole range of matters that are all confronting all of us as we speed towards this rendezvous with destiny that we have later this year.
Well, I think it's very important for people to hear from you what's actually happening on Capitol Hill rather than some third party just trying to say, oh, this is what they're talking about. But so thanks a lot for joining us, Glenn.
Great. Thank you.